Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a great word this morning. As you know, this is Friday, so we will be in the New Testament, and on Sunday, we will be in the Old Testament. If time permits today, we will have our psalm or proverb word or both. But we're going to get started because, as always, it's Friday and I have to go to work. Hallelujah. And so do you. For who do we work for? We work for God. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to be with you again this morning as we study the Word of God. And I am just amazed that we are on the 29th day of January. Time has just flown by. It has flown by today, this month. I mean, I can't believe that. Just seems like last week it was January 1st, and now we're on the 29th. Wow, that's God. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are so very grateful that you woke us up this morning, Lord, to give us an opportunity for a do-over. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a new day. Praying, Lord, that this day is better than yesterday, that more people will be saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, and able to worship. Lord God, I ask you to keep our family members covered over this virus, Lord God, for we know it's for a purpose and a reason. I pray that many will not leave this earth without being saved. Lord God, I pray that this word that I read today will be nourishment to souls and minds and spirits, for your word is true. I believe in it, I trust in it, and I know that it is divinely anointed and divinely appointed, that it is our basic instruction before leaving earth. Lord God, I thank you for this word. And I pray that the words that come from my mouth, Lord God, are acceptable in your sight. For Father God, as I pray every day, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. And I pray your increase as I decrease. Lord God, give me understanding, that I will be able to speak and explain the word as you want me to explain it. Remove all flesh and replace with the Holy Spirit. In the name of my Savior and your Son, Christ Jesus, I lift up our nations. For those all over this planet, I lift up our nations. I lift up my nation and ask you, Father God, to give us unity in Jesus' name. Amen. Praying for unity of the body of Christ and our nations. We have become so divided all over this planet. This group doesn't like that group. This person doesn't like that person. We need to shake off all the foolishness and move forward. And that's what we're about to do. We're about to move forward in the Word of God. And today our title is coming out of the book of Matthew, which is why we will be in the New Testament. And the word is, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Not some things, not a little bit of things, but all things are possible. With God will not shortchange you. God will not play with you. God will tell you the truth, and God will beat your behind when you don't do right, because that's just how he rolls. He, when we say train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's why the Lord speaks to children. Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom of God are the children, that we must have humble hearts like children. But understand, just like children, our daddy God will discipline us when we are not doing right. We have to walk right, talk right, live right, do right. We got to shake off all the foolishness. My pastor last night preached about forgiveness. And the one thing we have to do is forgive. We've spoken on that earlier this week, that to be forgiven, you got to forgive. Just as our Father God forgives us, not seven times a day, but 490, seven times 70, every day. You think wrong, God forgives you. You walk the wrong way, God forgives you when you ask for forgiveness. And we got to learn how to forgive, too. We got to get over our sanctimonious Holy Ghost feel. We are better than everybody else attitude. Right and do right. Because with God, all things, not some, are possible. So let's get into our word this morning. For those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Bible Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version, and I would suggest this Bible for all biblical arsenals. It is good to have. It is a daily Bible, so every day is ironed out, so that by the time we get to December the 31st, we will have read the entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And the way it's set up, it is an Old Testament word, a psalm, a proverb, Testament word. We started in Genesis chapter 1 in the Old Testament, and we started in Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. We started with Psalms 1 in the Psalms, and Psalms chapter and Proverbs chapter 1 in the Proverbs. And so it's a little bit of a snippet. Sometimes you're not going to read the whole chapter. It's going to be a little bit of Proverbs, a little bit of Psalms, so that when we end in December, you will end with the last verse of Psalms, and you will end with the last verse of Proverbs, which is Proverbs 31 in chapter 31. You will end with Revelation chapter 22. So, and we'll end with, I believe it's Zechariah in the Old Testament. So, really a great, I don't know how he did it, but it's wonderful. So, again, for your biblical arsenal, this is a great Bible to buy and to have. It's just wonderful. Even when I'm not on, I read my daily just so that I have this in my strength. It gives me strength. But on Fridays and Sundays, we will either read an Old Testament word or a New Testament word, which will incorporate Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that, because we do not blog, I don't blog, there's no show on Saturday. So just kind of giving all those new people what we're doing. They're like, huh, that, if they have this Bible, well, no, that's for Saturday. No, we do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, New Testament, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Old Testament, either on Friday or Sunday. Today, God gave me the New Testament to do. So let's get started. We are in Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to go forth. And our title is coming out of Matthew chapter 19 also. And it says this, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these things that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Notice that little just word. because they're trying to trip him up. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certain certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, is it better not to marry? But he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, then let him accept it. And that is a scripture that, you know, I would love if there is a biblical scholar that listens in to please explain, because it is a word that I really have struggled with when it comes to transgender. Because if they are men and women of God, but I believe that eunuchs are mostly men, what does this mean? So if there's any scholars out there, please dial 213-943-39. Hold it. I'm so sorry, y'all. 213-943-3597 and explain this word, because it is one of those words that just popped out at me when I was praying one night. And so please, if there's a scholar out there that has studied that this particular section of the word, let me know. Because some will say that it's priest, others will say that it's they want to be celibate. I don't know. But anyway, if there's someone out there that knows this word a little bit better, I'm not claiming to be a scholar. I just like Bible study. So as we continue, it says, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which one? Jesus says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still like? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Come follow me. Are you ready to give up everything you have and follow Jesus? But when the young man heard that thing, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's a word. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my namesake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Then the Lord said to Moses, oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Let's go back over a few life lessons. And then we're going to go into chapter 20 of Matthew. And the life lessons are lessons that come out of the study Bible from Dr. Stanley. And the life lesson for this morning from chapter 19 is verse number 6. What God has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage is not merely a social convenience, as many declare today. It is far more than a piece of paper. In marriage, God joins a man and a woman into a single family unit. This is what makes divorce such a tragedy. And let's call it. You know, so many times folks divorce for the wrong reason. They divorce because he said, she said. But the hardest divorce is the one where infidelity is involved. One wife, one husband. And if you can't be faithful, why did you get married in the first place? That's all God has, is for us to be faithful to our husbands and to our wives. And if a man cannot be faithful, that's what Jesus said. Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a good reason to divorce. But understand, you want to ask folks that go out slipping, dipping, and diving, is it worth your family? Was it worth your family? And most of the time, I guarantee you, it was not. And I have no problem with divorce because sometimes you are unequally yoked and shouldn't be with that person in the first place. But sometimes we want to listen to the voice of the enemy and marry the counterfeit instead of waiting for the genuine article that God has for you. I'm not going to go there this morning. I have one husband, that's it. I'm blessed that it was death that did us part. And if God has someone else out there for me, then I know that they will find me. That's how the word says. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing, not a woman who goes searching. So, you give it to God. So I'm talking to my single, unmarried widows out there. Whatever you may be, whether you're unmarried, whether you're a widow, whether you're single, understand that God will send your Boaz. God will send your Adam. God will send the one for you. Don't go looking. God will send them. That's the word. And we're going to stand on the word of God. Good, but not good enough. It's a word, life example. In Matthew 19:16, a rich young ruler went to Jesus and asked, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What he was really asking Jesus was, I've done so many good things. Haven't I done enough to earn eternal life? Like so many people, the rich young ruler was asking the wrong question. And I'm saying, what is the question? Dr. Stanley says this. Now remember that eternal life is more than just life without end. Eternal life is also a quality of life. It is the life of God. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive him by faith, a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have that kind of faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who went to the cross and died for your Colossians, chapter 1, verse 20. Then the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and he is life of God in you. He is the life of God in you, Romans 8, 9 through 11. You see, the rich young ruler's emphasis was on what he could do to earn salvation. Unfortunately, this is the great deception. Eternal life cannot be earned. And we're going to go over to that scripture. And it is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Sometimes you just got to go to the word and say, okay, God, show me what you want me to know and show me what you want me to see. So Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 16. And Galatians chapter 2 says this, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's a word. But I love, we got to go down to one, and it says this. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build against those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I thought the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, for Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness through the law, then Christ died in vain. And that was Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. And then it says Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to go over to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to hit verse number 8. And it says this. And I'm going to go up so we have it in context. And I'm going to start at verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Did you hear that? By grace, you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is a word. And it says, we'll never perform in a manner so good that God will see what we've done, approved of us, and give us eternal life. Sadly, that's the way most people approach God. And thank you, Dr. Stanley. And it goes on to say, of course, the real problem with that idea is that it ignores our sinful nature. We are naturally disobedient to God. We'll find that out as we get into our Exodus word about disobedience, about folks getting all kind of blessings and don't appreciate the blessings that they have. They'd rather go back into slavery than do what's right before God. And as we continue, we cannot do the things God created us to do or fulfill the purposes that God wants us to fulfill apart from the life of God in us. Therefore, we disobey God and break his law. We sin. And as James chapter 2:10 tells us, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So when people think, if I do better in a few areas of my life, surely God will accept me, they don't realize that doing better does not take care of the real problem. What is real? What the real problem? Even one sin earns us a penalty of death. Wow. But, you know, I've been taking a class on prayer. And our teacher says that one of the things you have to find is the root of whatever it is that's going on in your life. You know, so there is a root for that sin. You got to find where the root is, and you got to get that root out, because you'll keep stumbling and falling into the same sin all the time if you don't find the root of it. If you don't know why you go out and do what you do, you got to ask God, Lord, show me the root cause of why I'm doing what I'm doing that I know is against you. And we're going to go over real quick to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, and if we go back up in to verse 19, it says, I speak in human terms because the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. You know, Paul did not play. We go back up to verse 15. It says, from slaves of sin to slaves of God. It says, what then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Because folks think, because I'm under grace, I can just do whatever I want to and then repent. No, you can't. It says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. We want to be slaves of righteousness. And then it goes on to say, good works cannot erase sin. That's why God works save us, because they can't erase the sin debt we already owe. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross can do that. It is Jesus' crucifixion that makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our sin debt. Forgive us our debt. Remember our word from yesterday. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We want God to forgive us our sin as we forgive the sin of others. There will never be anything else that can eliminate our death penalty. Of course, that rich young ruler believed that there was something that he could do to earn eternal life. And the great tragedy is that we walked away from the one person who could give it to him, Jesus. It's the tragic decision that so many people make in life. Friend, don't make that same mistake. And I think, Dr. Stanley, that's an awesome word. And a couple more life lessons from chapter 19. Matthew 19 and 23, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard, kingdom of heaven. Why is it hard for a rich man to enter heaven? Something to think about. For the same reason, it's hard for the strong or the bright or the politically connected. They tend to rely on their own resources. Pride keeps them from trusting God's resources. I can tell you this, God will make a way out of no way. When you think that you're at your rock bottom, God will come through every time when you have faith. You got to have mustard seed faith that that teeny little seed is going to grow into a mighty tree. Men who are first will be last, and the last first. God loves to exalt the humble and humble the proud. Yes, he does. So Paul says, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 31. And I'm going to read that again. Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We can't glory in ourselves. We are nothing without God. We glory in the Lord. And we are going over to Matthew chapter 20. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went, and again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. Wow. That's a word. That's a hard word. Because we all know if you work in industry, and in certain industries, it does not matter. You don't get paid by service years. You don't get paid by anything. Everybody makes the same amount. If the minimum wage is $10 an hour, then whoever gets hired, as they say, in the first hour, makes $10 an hour, and the one that gets paid gets hired in the 12th hour, makes $10 an hour. It's $10 an hour across the board. Amount of people that you take care of, this is how much you will make. If you take care of one person, you make $10. If you take care of two persons, you make $12. Whatever that's on your contract, that's what you make. Because you've been there 10 years, doesn't mean you're going to make more than the person that came in on day one. If that's the way your contract is written. If that's the way your hiring documents are set up. Everybody can't work for a company that looks at loyalty, because sometimes things are regulated by the state, by union contracts. You know, I used to be a supervisor over union staff, and they would get upset because somebody would come in making the same thing as, say, a person that's been there 5 years. But if you look at your contract, it says from 1 to 5 years, this is what they make. Or from 0 to 3 years, this is what they make. or from 0 to 5 years. This is what they make. So, yes, for those that have been here less than 5 years, you're going to make the same thing as the person that came in on day one, because that's what your contract says. And we have to look at that. So he did not change. The supervisor, the owner, did not say, if you come in at the first hour, you're going to make a denarii. If you come in at the second hour, you're not going to make as much. You know, so, sir, I'm going to give you a talent, but the second hour, I'll give you a denarii. Or the fifth hour, you'll get a denarii, but the first one will get a talent. That's not what he said. He said, if you come to work, you'll get a denarii for the day. And so this is what the life lesson for this word is, says, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. God is constantly watching over us, not noting our decisions, pondering our plans, observing our behavior, not primarily for judgment, but for blessing. He knows exactly what we need, and so he invites us to ask him for his counsel. Lord, I ask you, what shall I do? How shall I get this done? Lord, you guide me. Lord, you lead me. Lord, you show me the way. 2015, it is not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is it your evil eye because I'm good? The Lord can and does distribute his gifts and his goodness as he will. By definition, grace cannot be earned or deserved, so God is completely free to parcel out his favor however he chooses. You know, and the word of God tells us that the Lord reigns on the just as well as the unjust. You know, we wonder how it is that evil people have so much and don't help anybody, but good people who have less seem to do more. And it doesn't seem fair. But you understand that God did not say favor was fair. The word tells us favor is not always fair. But understand that what God has for you is for you. Nobody can take your blessing. Irrevocable. So if you have a blessing of whatever, can't nobody take your blessing unless you it's stolen or given away. But it's still yours. You know, we saw as we were reading in Genesis how Jacob, a trickster, a manipulator, manipulated his brother out of his birthright for a bowl of soup. And then with his mother, by trickery, his blessing, the birthright, but he was blessed still because his blessing was irrevocable. He became his own little great nation, just like Ishmael became his own great nation because the blessing was his. He wasn't as great as Isaac, just like Esau wasn't as great as Jacob. But each had their own irrevocable blessing. I have my irrevocable blessing. You have your irrevocable blessing. Because can nobody take what God has for you? Because what God has for you is for you. Ever it is. He has for us. And sometimes, because of our own decisions, our own mistakes, we make the mistake, not God, where we are given the blessing and we mess it up. That's on us, not on God. God said, I will be with you. I will never forsake you. Isn't that what he said in his word? And we know his word is true. 100% accurate. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we have to stand on that word and believe in that word. And our last word for this morning is completion of Matthew chapter 20. And it says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." Wow. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." Sometimes you got to be careful what you're asking for. So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentile lord is over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He could have come and been the prince that he was born to be, but he came as a humble servant to die for our sins. He didn't have to come to this wicked world. He didn't have to come and give his life for us, die for us, but he rose again for us, taking our sins with him, so that we, by grace, can be forgiven, can repent, and have opportunity for the kingdom to get through the narrow gate and have your path. And as we go forth, it says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Wow. And life lessons from chapter 20. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Christian leadership is never about exercising power over someone or putting someone in his or her place. Whenever it comes to that, the Christian element has vanished. Christian leaders are always servants first. You heard that, right? You know, there are those out there, you know, "I want to be a minister. I want to be a prophet. I want to be this or that." Understand, I don't know one minister, one apostle, one prophet, one pastor that has not gone through something. Because this is not easy. Don't, "Oh, well, they're a minister or they're a leader." Leaders do not have it easy. The enemy will attack us first. We will go through some stuff. This call is not an easy call. And I'm going to say this. If you are a prophet, are you desiring the gift of prophecy? You better understand you're going to go through it, because some of the things you see are not going to be rosy and sweet. All you got to do is ask John. All you got to do is ask Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. The prophets of old will tell you. Jeremiah cried through the whole doggone book. because it hurt him so much what he knew was going to happen. Don't ask for gifts that you cannot handle. You know, folks want to run because they think of that leaders are got it going on. Leaders have to work hard. They have to study hard. They have to pray all the time. They are always pushing, praying until something happens. And they're always interceding for somebody. Don't ask for something you cannot handle. Because leadership is more than a title. What did Dr. Stanley say? Christian leadership is never about exercising power over someone or putting someone in his or her place whenever it comes to that. The Christian element has vanished. Christian leaders are always servants first. We're always servants first. The last to leave, the first to get there. We got to work. It is work. But it's work that you're called to do, so you love it. You love it. I love getting up early in the morning and doing what I do. I love God. And whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to tell you that it's easy all the time because it's not. Don't let folks fool you. False prophets are out there. Prophet liars are out there. False teachers are out there who have never picked up the book. And what they do is go and find scriptures to follow what they want to say to you. And because it's in the words, you want to follow after it, not understanding. It's not in context. We got to make sure when we read this word, we read it in context. That's why when I'll give you a scripture, I'll say, wait a minute, let me go back and put it in context. Because context is important. 20 is from Dr. Stanley. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. No one ever mistook Jesus for anything but a leader, and yet he came to serve. Right up to the time he performed the ultimate service by giving his life so that we might not have to die, so that we may have eternal life, Jesus gave his life for us. Can we say we are blessed? We are blessed and highly favored by God because of his love for us. Sure I have. We will be in the Old Testament on Sunday, starting in Exodus chapter 7. And we'll read the Exodus, Proverbs, and Psalms on Sunday. We have about 10 minutes left today. If there's anybody that would like to speak that has a word from God, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. Push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. But this has been a great word this morning. Wow, a really great word today. Again, if there's anyone that has a word that God has put in your heart, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open, or call 213-943-3597. Praising God this morning, thanking God this morning for each and every one of you. This has been a word today. And before we get out of here, God just put it in my heart, and I don't know why, but to read Psalms chapter 17. And it says this: hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have proposed that my mouth shall not transgress concerning the works of men, the word of your lips. I have kept away from the path of the destroyer, upheld my steps in your path, that my steps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O Lord. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who have those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me from under the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword, your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and those and whose bellies you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babies. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. Wow, this is a word. That is a word this morning. Wow. I didn't think we would have time, but God said to go forth, and that's what I did. So thanking God for each and every one of you. We have read this morning Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 20. Sunday we will be in the book of Exodus, starting with Exodus chapter 7. So thank you so much, family. I appreciate you. I love each and every one of you. And I got to go to work. So I am thanking you for your prayers. And, you know, for those that were not here on Tuesday, I gave a shout out and a thank you. I almost had a very serious car accident. It was icy roads, and a car stopped in front of me. And to avoid it, I started to slide and almost slid into a telephone. Well, I could hear was my husband's voice saying, "Turn into the slide." And as I started to slide, I just turned, and it was almost like something, and I know it was my angels of heaven and the mercies and grace that just eased my car around. I did a 360. I went from the right lane into the left lane going straight. Did not hit the pole, did not hit the car, just slid right on around into the other lane. And how God works things out, the light was red. So I was the only one on my side of the road when I slid in and turned. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. So I thank you for the prayers, for righteous prayer availeth much. And I can only say thank you. I appreciate your prayers. Keep praying for this broadcast, that we can continue to read the word of God. All of you that listen in regularly and those that listen in occasionally, I thank God that this word, his word, goes forth daily, that someone is hearing the word maybe for the first time, that they will listen and they will hear and they will know there's only one God, and he sent his beloved son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we may have the keys to eternal life. I thank all of you. Be blessed, and as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious weekend, and join me on Sunday as we continue moving forward in the Word of God. Have a blessed day, family. It is We have one caller just a moment. Your line is open. Good morning. Good morning. 4727, your line is open. Aunt Rita, your line is open. There must be a technical difficulty on Aunt Rita's side because we're not getting her. But we thank God for her. We love her. She is the mother of this blog, this Blog Talk Radio. She is the mother of Moving Forward Church. Hallelujah. And we thank God for her. I have to wrap it up. So I thank all of you. And we are hopeful that she will be able to speak on Sunday. She will probably need to unmute her phone if she would like to speak today. Your phone must be on mute or on low because we cannot hear you.
I'm sorry.
So
I'm not going to
you.
Keep you long.
There she is. There she is. We got time.
Okay. But I thank God for just waking us all up this morning, closing our right mind. So we must rejoice and be glad in it. I just thank God for saving you from any hurt, harm, or danger. He's just a good God all the time, and all the time he is God.
Amen.
So I thank God for you and all that
thank
you do.
You.
And hope he continues to bless you and keep you and give you what you stand in the need of each and every day. This knowledge, bless my ass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for praying us out this morning. Aunt Rita, before we get out of here, before we go, we have a word from our sister Carolyn. And this is the word for today. Stop giving people the power to control your happiness. Your worth and value is determined by God. Have a fantastic Friday, family. As we say, Mother Rita, it is a wrap. Hallelujah and praise the Lord. It's a wrap, family. Join us again on Sunday as we move forward in the Word of God. It's what?
Amen.
Time to go to work. Amen.
Amen.